Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes. I will be your host for the next 30 minutes and 5 seconds. So I'm pretty excited that I'm I'm on time, but I'm excited about the show. So let's pray and just get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to share your word. I thank you that as your word goes forth, it does what you intend for it to do, which is reach into the hearts of people and cause a change or make a mark that can never, ever be erased. I yield myself over to you to be used by you. So as my pastor says, you know, I pray that you would think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, that it's all of you, none of me. And I mean that because your word it's powerful, it's quick, it's active, it's able to get down into the soul, the spirit, it weighs the intents and thoughts of the heart. So I just thank you so much, and we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who went to hell, who took our sins upon himself and gave us access back into your presence, which is something we would have had to do on our own, but our blood wasn't good enough, and I just thank you that he shed his blood. And for this, I give you thanks, and it's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic, awesome name of Jesus that I pray. And everybody that's listening, if you agree with that prayer, then just say amen, and we'll seal it. So, hey, today is, I labeled it or titled it, Settle It Sunday, the beginning. You know, so many times we get questions, you know, people ask, where did I come from? Or, you know, how did this world come into existence? Or is there really a God? Is, you know, what happens when I leave the planet? Does it just go dark? I have the awesome opportunity of being able to talk to two young men who just graduated high school, and God just put it on my heart to, you know, well, talk to them about life and things in general. So, and I've learned over the years what you do is you do it over a meal, and, you know, depending on their age, you definitely don't do it male to young female, stuff like that, unless it's a business environment or setting and, you know, they're, but, you know, you do everything decent and in order. So I told these young men, I said, hey, look, let's go. First I talked to a parent so that a parent knew what was going on. I said, let's go grab, first of all, let's go to a movie, and then let's go grab something to eat after the movie. And then while we were in the restaurant, I had the opportunity. First question was, not right away, you know, we ordered appetizers. They looked at the menu, all that stuff. But then I said, I explained to them the reason. I just wanted to talk to them. And it wasn't just ministry. It was life. Just, you know, what do you plan on doing with your life? I asked one of the young men about his, you know, he has a lady friend. And I said, well, what are your intentions with her? Because, you know, it was just one of those questions that nobody ever asked me that when I had a young lady friend as a teenager. So then the question came up, if you were to die today, what would happen? And in the comical way that the one young man, he said, I would just be dead. And the other young man, he said, well, you know, I think I've done more good than I've done bad. And so in my mind's eye, I envision scales to where on one side of the scale you have your bad, and on the other side of your scale you have your good. And as long as the good outweighs the bad, hey, you should be good to go. The only challenge is God doesn't work like that. You can't do enough good to get into heaven. It just doesn't, that's not how God's system is. And well, it would be advisable or wise to allow the Bible to define itself. Well, what do you mean by that? instead of trying to go to what I call the world system and get biblical answers, the Bible even says that which is spirit is spirit, that which is flesh is flesh. So if you have a spiritual question, you're most likely you're going to need a spiritual answer so they can match up. For example, a person may have some type of psychological oppression or some type of, you know, the root of it may be demonic in nature. Let me see if I can find a scripture. Let's try Mark chapter 9. Let's try that to see. I think that's the account where the guy was coming down. Jesus was on the mountain. He was coming down, and the disciples tried to cast out a demonic spirit. Let's see. Let's see if it's Mark chapter 9 or not. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, here we go. Now, watch this. Watch how, I'm simply reading the Bible. That's what I've learned to do. Just read what the Bible says, and it'll tell you so much about life. Okay. Mark chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 14, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And it says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the disciples, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered. Now he asked the disciples. He didn't ask somebody from the crowd. So it's kind of interesting how people, they get this thing to where Jesus wasn't talking to you, but you're going to have people that are going to answer. So you have to know how to deal with those situations in a setting to where you don't, as much as possible, you don't offend anybody, but at the same time, you still answer them in love. So then it says in verse 17, and one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. So he's got a mute spirit. That means his ability to speak with his mouth has been snuffed out or restricted by a spirit, because it says a mute spirit. This is what the Bible says. So there's a spirit that's causing this young man to be mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams in at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now, folks, I'm not trying to get deep. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. But this describes a seizure, which I would wager to say 99.9% of Americans and people all over the world too understand what a seizure is and what it does. I've seen with my own eyes what a seizure does to a human being. It does just this. Now, and whenever it seizes him, well, wait a minute. What do you mean what seizes him? The spirit, the mute spirit, seizes him. Remember, we were talking about the mute spirit. So it says it seizes him, throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So you're telling me that according to the Bible, when a person has a seizure, the root of it is a demonic spirit, based on what we just read. Not based on my opinion, not based on my philosophical outlook, not based on my theory of what I've seen out there in the world. According to the Bible, if you see someone experiencing these exact if you see them experiencing these, having this experience, it would appear that we're dealing with, according to the Bible, we're dealing with a spirit. So it says they could not cast out. So we have a physical manifestation of something, but it's based in, and it is the root of it is a spirit. So now we're going to have to answer the question, what is the spirit? And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then he brought him to him, little him to big him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. But they use the word convulsed. So, okay. Folks, it's kind of hard to fight with this. I mean, we're pretty accurate based on some things we've seen. And it says that then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's the place that a lot of people find themselves. I want to believe what this guy here on this Blog Talk Radio program is talking about, but I just don't have the faith to believe. So help my unbelief. Well, let's see how Jesus responded to this. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked. Now that word rebuke means literally stop, no more. That's what it means. Stop, no more. It says he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit. Now, so it's a deaf spirit and a dumb spirit. I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. So, wow. So this demon was entering this boy and causing him to be deaf, mute, convulsed, have convulsions, causing him to become rigid, foam at the mouth. It was literally just taking over his body. That's what demonic spirits do. They need to inhabit a body. But I don't believe in demons. Well, just because you don't believe doesn't mean they don't exist. So when the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And we're literally talking about unbelief, which is something that that's another teaching. So we'll have to deal with it another time. But the reason I went to that particular scripture is because we have a spiritual problem, and people are trying to deal with it with a physical solution. Now, am I saying don't go to the physicians pertaining to this? If a child is having seizures, no, I didn't say that. And I'll call you a liar if you said I said it. But what I am saying is the Bible has a solution for it. But you have to believe. this natural world system, they also have solutions. So it's up to the individual to choose what it is you believe. But based on everything I just described, we just described, some people call them grandma seizures, some people call them regular seizures. So there's nothing regular about a seizure. It's just not a natural thing for somebody's like body to be taken over by a spiritual being that has no right to do that. So the whole point of why I went there was to show you spirit lines up with spirit, natural lines up with natural, soul lines up with soul. Money can answer things, but money can't buy you a friend. Money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. Money can buy you people, but it can't buy you a friend. Money can buy you a car, but it can buy you a vehicle, but it can't, it just can't. Well, I'm not going to get into that. Yeah. So let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And we got about 13 minutes left. So I want to talk about, because, it's, you know, when I say spirit lines up with spirit, well, let's see what we're talking about. Yeah, so let's go there. And once again, like I said, I'm reading out of the, let's see. The reason I keep saying let's see is because I was typing a message. Somebody wanted to tune into the show. Well, I wanted someone to tune into the show. So what I did was I was typing while I was talking, which I'm learning to do. Multitask. So let's read this so we can get a better understanding, so we can kind of, let's see. All right. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, because we're going to settle some things today, and we're talking about the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the New King James Version, Spirit-Filled Life Bible, in the beginning, God, let me read that again. In the beginning, stop. Who's writing? When it says in the beginning, who is writing? Well, according to the Hebrew text, Moses is the one who's writing. Okay, so then who is he writing to? Moses is writing to the Hebrew nation, according to the Bible. Now, we're using the Bible as our foundation. We're using the Bible as our text. We're allowing the Bible to define itself. That's called rightly dividing the word of truth, because you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Now, I'm not saying I am a 100% accurate, get it right all the time minister. However, I can be. Yeah, I have that, because I can do, watch this, all things through Christ. It didn't say some things. It didn't say 98% of things. It said I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, or another word is empowers me, or another word is gives me the ability to understand so I can effectively articulate. So that being the case, so he's writing to the Hebrew nation. Now you have to understand something. When I read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, because I've been grafted into the Hebrew nation through my belief in Jesus, and I'm going to show you that scripture, I can understand the Old Testament from the perspective of, because see, that's the Old Covenant. I was never invited into the Old Covenant. I'm under the covenant of grace. This was the covenant of the law, which is like when they say the law of Moses. God never invited me into that, because I'm what would be considered a Gentile. I'm not Jewish by birth. Well, yeah, you're one of the black Jews. Well, you know, I'm not even going to get into that. All I know is that I'm a Gentile. I'm grafted in. I believe in Jesus. That's how it works. So when I read the Old Testament, I'm reading it from a historical viewpoint where I can still do what's this thing called gleaning from it, where I can understand this is my history based on the biblical text. So let me go ahead and show you where I've been grafted in. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. And let's see, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I'll start with verse 11. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because I'm already at 9 minutes and 22 seconds. So Romans chapter 11, let's start in verse 11. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So the gospel was presented to the Jews. Not all Jews rejected it, but some of them rejected it. So God said, you know what? I'll send the gospel to the Gentiles so that all men could be saved. All men could have the opportunity to be saved. That's what makes God so cool, is that he doesn't hold things back from any human. God is not willing that any man should perish, but that every man should come into the knowledge of the truth. But he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, which means God doesn't want you to die and then go to hell as a result of not believing him or not even. And in Romans chapter 10, it talks about how can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach unless he be sent? So it's my responsibility. And there are others who accepted the undertaking of preaching the gospel so that people don't perish, or they have the opportunity to not perish through their decision to accept Jesus. Heaven and hell is, I mean, it's a simple thing. You know, you hear the gospel, you respond to it, and you're good to go. I don't know how to make it any simpler. That's just the name of the game. So, let's see. First Regents, let's find it. Provoke jealousy those who are flesh and say some for being cast away for the first time in the world. First fruit of the holy, lump of the holy. As his branch were broken off, being wild, oranges, then became a partaker of the root and fat plants. Not boast against the branches, but if you boast against the branches, support the root branches. Natural branch, we could say goodness. Now, so unbelief. Okay, here we are, verse 23. Romans chapter 11, verse 23, it says, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. He's talking about the Jews that rejected the gospel, but then they went back and said, you know what? I believe Jesus is the Messiah, and then he'll graft them back in. See, what happens is there's the Jew, the Gentile, and then what God did was he said, I want to create a totally new, separate, different body, and that's called the body of Christ, which are Christians, people that actually believe in Jesus. But he made up the body of Jews and Gentiles, of people that were born of Jewish descent, and then there were Gentiles, people not born of Jewish descent. See, God doesn't look at mankind like we do. He doesn't look at, you're black, you're white, you're Jew, you're Gentile. He looks at saved and unsaved because he understands the urgency of the time. So it's either you either accept Jesus and you're saved, or you either reject Jesus and you're not saved. Here's the beauty of that. We don't get to decide how we get to heaven and who goes. Only God gets to decide that, because his judgments are righteous. His way of doing it is the right way. If we were to do it, it would get all messed up, because I'd make sure first of all, I'm good to go. Then I make sure my parents are good to go. Then I make sure my family members are good to go. And then I might have a situation with somebody that I don't like them. So you're not getting into heaven because I don't like you. Or maybe somebody fell asleep while the message was going on and they missed heaven. Or, see, there's all these different human ways of thinking that we know how people need to get to God. Jesus was very simple. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man, no human, now that word man is talking about no human being may come to the Father except through me. So God came up with his own way of deciding who comes back into fellowship with him. So that means you don't get to decide, well, I believe there are many different roads to God. I believe this, I believe that. You can believe what you want to believe. However, God, he's designed the way by which somebody can come to him. I mean, it's like trying to live under your parents' roof, but you want to make the rules. Well, that's not going to work. Even as an adult, if you live with, like, an adult parent or you might live with your parents, even if you're taking care of them, like in my case, you know, I don't necessarily take care of my dad in the sense of he can't do anything, but, you know, I am here with him because when my mother passed away, I decided I was going to be around him to help him with his finances and help him with his medications and help him with those things. But he's still my dad, and this is his house. And so I still respect and honor not only his presence as my dad, but, you know, the rules of his home. Now, I can come and go as I please, but there are still rules that are in place, if that makes sense, into where, and as a better example, there are rules in place that literally, there are unwritten rules, like, I'm not about to bring some woman up in here to stay with me in my dad's house. He doesn't have to tell me I can't do that. That's just understood. So God writes his laws on our heart so that we don't need a list of commandments like the Ten Commandments to tell us that's not right. Your conscience bears witness of what's right and what's wrong. And so God has decided the way by which we come to him. That's his prerogative. I had to learn. I always thought it was prerogative, but it's prerogative. So with that being said, if you've never made a decision to accept Jesus, then I highly recommend you repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. I believe he went to hell as a result of paying for my sins, for my mistakes, for my shortcomings. You said, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. Well, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe what I just said. I believe you were raised from the dead. Now, Father, according to your word, I've confessed and I believe, so I'm saved. In the mighty, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Hey, welcome to the family. God loves you. I love you. Gotta go.